some celebrating. This is something that me and Pastor Alicia really begin to feel on our heart that we need to do, and we've been trying to figure out the best way to do that. And so right now we're thinking the best way is to do monthly wrap-ups and just celebrate what God has done in the past month. So this is the first Sunday in December, so we're looking back in November, and we have a quick video we want to show you of the things that we got to do, the times that we got to spend together, and the things that God did through this church in November. And so let's just watch this and enjoy this, and let's celebrate what God is doing in us. Amen. Go ahead and play that video for me. Give God a hand, clap of praise for what he's been doing in our midst. And I just want to say thank you for all that are participating and continue to participate in the things that we're doing. This is why we do it. We do it for connection and community. We do it so we can further the gospel of Jesus Christ. And just so you know, we had over 1,200 cards, about 1,200 cards from Christ that we signed and filled out that are going to be going to prisoners that are in the prison system. And I talked with Kent Money, and we got those delivered. And as I was speaking to him, he said, I used to pray, God, send me enough cards so that it can fulfill the need so that we can minister to every person in Ohio that's incarcerated, every person, every individual. And he said, now I pray, God, send me enough prisons to send these cards to, because I have Ohio covered all the time, right away, and I need more people to give this hope of the Christmas season, too. And so he's actually said our cards are probably going to end up in Texas or some other place because they have Ohio covered already. But how cool is that, that we get to be part of the kingdom of God that's ministering to everyone, amen, to everyone, and that's needed. And so thank you all so much for the Thanksgiving dinner that we had, for sending us to Brazil, and I know that young people, the teenagers, went on that trip and had a good time as well. And so, you know, it seems like, well, you know, you guys are always busy, you're always busy. Well, we want to reflect back on what God's doing and not just remember the busyness, but remember what God is doing in those moments. Amen. And so we're excited for that. Well, this morning, we're going to dismiss the students to go back to their classes. We do have our youth, our kids' church. We have a preschool class, and we have a nursery for you this morning. So if you want to take your kids back there, you are more than welcome. I've seen some of the people who are in the cast, in the play, drinking some of these things this morning, and I've noticed that they left me one that's about quarter full to drink up here. I'm assuming that was from last night, keeping their energy up, and they didn't give me a full one because they knew I would preach 3 hours if they gave me a full one, so they only gave me, I'm just kidding. Praise the Lord. How many are excited that it's December and it's cold outside and there's snow on the ground? Yeah, I knew there would be a few of you crazy ones out there. How many are excited that we are in the Christmas season? I love Christmas. Yes. Praise the Lord. And we're excited this morning to launch our Christmas series. We have a series of sermons to go through in this month, and leading up to Christmas and even past Christmas, the Sunday after Christmas. And we are super excited about what God's placed upon our hearts. Because a few years back, maybe 3 years ago or more, God really started laying on my heart not to just preach a Christmas message on Christmas morning, Sunday morning service, but to really take the whole month of December and reflect on what we are doing, what this is all about. And so every year when it comes to this season, I'm in prayer, and Pastor Alicia's praying with me, and we're asking God, what do you want to speak to us in this season? And we're going to dive into some things this morning, but the title of this series is, Who is this Jesus? Who is this Jesus? And I promise you that during worship and everything, I had not planned any of that. The Holy Spirit just started speaking to my heart, and how fitting was the word of exhortation he gave us, how it lines right up with this sermon series, Who is this Jesus? And I'm just going to be a little more blunt with you this morning like I already have been. And I do that because I love you, right? That's why I say things bluntly and challenge you and provoke you and stir you up. But, you know, we Christians, we can get bent out of shape about things in this season. We can get easily frustrated or annoyed. I've met some people who will say to someone, Happy Holidays, and someone very kind of gruff, rough go, Merry Christmas. And I'm going, well, I'm glad that you want to keep Christ in Christmas, but not sure the attitude was right. You know what I'm saying? And what's interesting to me is we talk about Jesus as the reason for the season. And we want to stress that Christmas is about Jesus Christ. But here's my question to challenge you, those of you that serve Jesus, those of you that love Jesus, and those of you that want to keep Christ at the center of Christmas, what are you doing to tell people about who this Jesus is? Or are you just saying, Jesus is the reason for the season? Merry Christmas! Or are we really displaying, first of all, with our life and our character, and second of all, talking about who this Jesus is? Who is this Jesus? And you might think to yourself, well, I mean, come on, everybody knows. No. Sister Betty this week talking about some things and how our society has changed over the years and our culture has changed in America. And there was a point in time where when people came to church, they had some understanding of church. They had some understanding of God because the way that they were brought up, the way that the society worked at that time, is there was teaching about morality and there was teaching about Jesus. And so many times when people would come to Christ for the first time or maybe come back to Christ, they would just fall in and understand how they were supposed to live, how they were supposed to connect with people, how they were supposed to become a part of the community of God. But we live in a day and age that has become so secular, there are people who do not know who this Jesus is. Therefore, when they come and meet him for the first time, they're not sure what they're supposed to do with him. And so they treat him and they treat church like they would treat anything else that they've engaged in. And how is that? That means, well, I mean, if I feel like it, yeah, I'll go take part. If I don't, then I'm not feeling it today. But those of us that have been following Christ for a while understand and know that we are disciples of Jesus. So this is a discipline that we have to walk in every day of our lives. And when we make this choice to follow Jesus, we have to wake up every morning and make that choice again and say, yes, I'm following Jesus today. And then the next day, I'm following Jesus today. It's not something we just get to pick and choose when we feel like it. So who is this Jesus that is the reason for the season? Who is this Christ that's supposed to be the center of Christmas? And what about all the other things that happen and take place around this time of year? And let me just say this. God began to deal with my heart a while back of not getting so upset about all the commercialization of the time, of the season. Because it's a distraction. Listen to me, church. It's a distraction. And if you approach Christmas like you're Ebenezer Scrooge or the Grinch, because you're sick and tired of all the commercialization of it all, then you're going to miss your opportunity to speak into somebody's life, because they're actually thinking about this season. They're wondering about this season. And just like you're fed up with all the commercialization and the rat race and the rushing, they are too. The thing is, they just don't know any difference. They've never been taught. They've never been told. They just hear about this Jesus, but they don't know who this Jesus is. And so that's what this series is about. We're going to talk about some things about Christ, and we're going to challenge you this month as we're celebrating Christmas. And so I want you to go with me to the book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 31. I'm going to start here, kick this series off by reading this passage. And then we're going to go into some things that God has laid upon our hearts for this time and for this season. And this is what the Bible says. This is the angel of the Lord speaking to Mary, and he says, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." Now, we've already talked about the name of Jesus a little bit this morning, the power and the authority that it carries and what it does for us and how we bear the name of Jesus. But this whole season that we're celebrating, church, the whole reason that the world gets turned upside down in this time, and trust me, I know historians will say this is not when Jesus was born, but for whatever reason, this is when the culture has decided to celebrate his birth, and as Christians, we need to use this as a defining moment to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this is something that is so key and so important to the gospel, that an angel of the Lord appeared to Mary, who was a virgin. She had never known a man. She'd never been with a man. And the angel of the Lord tells her, "You're going to conceive in your womb, and you're going to have a son. And you will name him Jesus." Now, if you read on, you see where Mary's confused. How can this be? I've never known a man. That's not possible. He says, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you and place this supernatural child in your womb. And that thing that you're carrying, that baby that you're carrying, will be called holy, because he is the Son of God." This is some of the basic concepts of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so the first thing we have to be able to articulate as followers of Jesus when we are celebrating Christmas is to be able to articulate this, that God performed a miracle in this season. And a woman, a young woman, some people refer to her as a teenage girl, received a gift for the world in her son named Jesus. And she bore this son and carried him to term and delivered him, and the word became flesh, right? Or the spoken word of God actually became literal flesh, and he became the God-man and was born into this world. Now, some of you might be saying, "Well, I don't know if I can say it that way." You don't have to. You don't have to. You put it in your simple terms. And sometimes the way you say it is so much better than what I can say it, because I've had too much things that I've read, and all these words start getting, and they start flowing out of my mind, and people get confused. And when you just say, "Hey, you know what? This is when the Savior of the world was born. This is when the Son of God came into the world, into existence." Then God can take those simple words and begin to do something that would transform people's lives. So this whole series is, who is this Jesus? And it's not so much to tell you who this Jesus is, because many of you sitting here staring at me this morning, you're like, "Yeah, Pastor, I know this Jesus." Do you? Do you? Do you really know him? Or do you just think you know Him? And what are parts of Him that you have not gotten to know yet? Because I can tell you, as you walk in a relationship with someone and you grow with them, you continually learn more and more about them. So who is this Jesus? Well, there's four things we want to focus on. And this is what I love about the Bible. When we begin to speak the names of God or the names of Jesus, the names of the different various names, they're descriptive terms. And this is what we have to understand. And if you're a note taker, you need to write this down. Hopefully it'll help you in the future to be able to explain this to somebody else. They are descriptive terms so that we can get to know who He is and His character and how He works. So you'll have people from other religions ask you sometimes, why does your, if you only have one God, why does He have so many names? Anybody ever heard that one before? I've heard it before. You have one God, why does He have so many names? Because His names describe who He is. They're not just a name, it's a descriptive term of the many wonderful things that He is. And so as we walk through this series, there are four terms that God has laid upon our heart to share with you that I believe that God's going to do something specific in your heart and in your life for this season, but He's going to give you some tools to be able to share this great message in this season with others. Because how important is it that we share this message of hope, this message of life, this message of redemption in this season especially? Because people are paying attention now. And you might say, well, are they really, Pastor? Yeah, they are. They may act like they're not, but they are. Because they're thinking about it because it's fresh in their mind. And this is an opportunity that God's given us. And so here are the four things we're going to talk about and focus on of the names of Jesus. Light. He is light. He's called the light of the world. He's the Lord. He's the Savior. And He is Emmanuel. And so I know that He's got all kinds of other names, okay? But those are the four specific terms that God has spoken to us to dive into in this series. And I believe that God is going to begin to enlighten us and show us some things so that we can better share the gospel of Jesus Christ, but even more than that, so that we can better understand who Jesus is to us. So this morning, I'm going to dive into the term light. He's referred to as light. And before I go too much further in my notes here, something God began to stir in my heart to share with you this morning is that we have already moved into what's called the Advent season. And there's times in the past I've done some series of preaching about Advent. And I think it's very important that we as Christians understand Advent. There are some things that when God moves in certain situations, people begin to divert from, and rightly so, because things in the church sometimes get staunch and very religious, and it just becomes habitual and things that we do over and over again. And so then God moves, and there's a fresh presence, a fresh manifestation of His presence, and God begins to move in certain ways. And then unfortunately, the things that are so vital to our Christianity and to the education and our learning, we move away from. And say, well, what are you trying to say, Pastor Joe? What I'm trying to say is that as a Pentecostal movement, Advent is one of those things that we have forgotten about, that unfortunately we've moved away from, and we have not much of an understanding when it comes to Advent. But Advent is so beautiful. It is so beautiful, church, because it is an expected waiting of the Messiah or the Christ to come. And as Christians, we celebrate His first coming, that He showed up. And one way that they used to celebrate this, and I think some people still do this, but it seems like it's kind of dying out. I don't see it as much, is they have an Advent wreath with candles on it. And what I love about the symbol of the wreath is there's no beginning or end. So it speaks to God's eternalness. He's eternal. And there's lights, candles that they light on that, lights that speak of the themes of Advent: hope, peace, joy, and love. These are things that are given to us by God the Father that come to us through Jesus Christ and His appearing. And the main thing I love about Advent is that it has an anticipation aspect to it that just stirs hope in our hearts. It just stirs up hope. There's an expectancy, because we think back and remember that the people of God were waiting for the Messiah. And the Advent took place, that the Messiah showed up and He was born in Bethlehem. And the God-man appears and He's born of woman and He fulfills all of these prophecies that they had been reading and had been studying for years and years and centuries. And all of a sudden, Advent takes place. Well, let me tell you something, church. If He did it once, He'll do it again. And so this season should stir up hope in us that if God fulfilled His word then, He will fulfill His word now. So we can hold to that hope. We can stand firm in that hope. And so we light the candles of hope and peace and joy and love. And the center candle is representation of Christ, because He is at the center and He is eternal in the wreath that is made. And it's something that we lose sometimes because we don't slow down in the Christmas season to really think about what we're celebrating. That the eternal God came to this world so that He could be in contact with us, so that He could give His life, so that we could also become eternal beings to live with Him forever. We were already going to be eternal, but we were eternal people with no hope. And I think often about those that were in Abraham's bosom, or as Jesus refers to it, as paradise, awaiting the Messiah to come. And this is just how my crazy mind works. I'll just share this with you, okay? Can you imagine being with those guys and gals in paradise, and all of a sudden, this guy named John the Baptist shows up? Hey, what's up, Abraham? How you doing, Moses? How's it going, guys? Hey, I got some good news for you. You know how y'all just been hanging out here waiting for the Messiah to come? Hey, He's on earth right now. We ain't got much longer, guys. I'm telling you, we ain't got much longer. He's on earth right now. God sent me to prepare the way for Him, and I got to be the preacher to say, hey, the Lamb, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He is here on earth. We ain't got much longer to wait, guys. John the Baptist gets to go to paradise and give them the good news also and preach to them. He's coming. And then when Jesus dies, the Bible teaches us that He goes to paradise, preaches to them. They receive Him as the Messiah, and He takes them to heaven to be with Him forever in eternity. That's good news. And that is the good news of Christmas, the advent of His appearing. And we get to be John the Baptist's voices crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way, make your path straight, for He's coming. What do you mean, Pastor Joe? Well, if He came the first time and He said He was coming the first time, then He's going to come the second time, because He said He's coming the second time. And I got news for you. I don't think it's going to be much longer. Some days I'm really hoping, God, don't make it much longer. I don't know the day or the hour. Neither did John. But John got to go tell them guys, hey, I've seen Him. He's walking the earth. So it can't be much longer, guys. We can't be spending that much more time down here, because He's coming. I'm telling you, He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. What does that mean for the Christmas season? There is an expectation of hope that should stir within us, that every time we think about the fact that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, he said he's coming back and he's going to come on that Mount of Olives just as he ascended. I'm telling you, he's coming, and that just stirs hope. And all of a sudden, this candle, at times when life gets hard and things seem so bleak and grim, and I'm like, man, and it feels like this candle of hope starts flickering. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit reminds me, hey, I sent him in Bethlehem, and I take him up, but I'm telling you, he's coming back again. Don't lose hope. So the first thing that the light tells us is that there's hope. It's a beacon of hope. The second thing is this, that it's revelation to the world. And the third thing is that the light is victory over darkness. These are the three points I want to bring to you today. And I want you to go with me, first of all, to John chapter 8, verse 12. I've been already speaking to you. Advent season, Christmas season, is a season of hope. Of hope. And this is where he's called. He actually declares it himself. He says, again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am. That sounds familiar. All my Bible readers know what I'm talking about. I am the light of the world. And whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. But check this last part out. But will have the light of life. Will have the light of life. He is the light of the world. Who is this Jesus? He's the light of the world. He is the beacon of hope for the world. We have no other hope besides him. He is that light that brings life. I think I've shared this before, but this just came back to my memory, so I'm going to share it with you again. That, do you know that at conception of anything, anything that comes to life, that there's a flash of light? There's a spark. The Bible bears this out. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was out form and void. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. His creation began. Life came into existence with light. They even say that they've done studies, because our scientists have gone, I mean, they got all kinds of cool technology now. And they've watched that when an embryo is actually, and the seed of is joined to the embryo, they said that they've watched it under microscopes. They've magnified it so much. And they said as soon as the embryo receives the seed, there's this spark of light. You can look it up. It's true. There's this spark of light that happens. That life comes with light. I'm reminded of what the Apostle Paul wrote under the unction of the Holy Spirit. He said, you who were dead in your trespasses and sins have now been made alive in Christ Jesus. When we receive this beacon of hope, this light, life enters us. We are born again, as Jesus said it. We are reborn. We were the literal walking dead until his spirit came and took abode in us, and we received him by faith, and light shines through this darkened heart, and now we are enlightened, and now we have this hope that we did not have before. And so this is something that I want you to get a hold of, because When I'm preaching the word, I'm always asking God, God, how do I make this applicable to now? How do we practically live this out right now? Because we talk about the light all the time. We are the lighthouse. I mean, come on. We talk about the light all the time here. We've talked about how life takes place in light. But let's be real. Even after we're followers of Jesus, the darkness gets heavy sometimes. The Bible even says that it's a gross darkness that comes on. Even at the cross of Jesus Christ, it was the middle of the day and it turned night. Because darkness tries to invade. But we know that it can't overtake the light. We know that. I mean, electricity teaches us that. We walk into a dark room, we flip the light switch, the lights turn on, and the darkness leaves, right? It's not that the darkness stays, and the light is just there, but the darkness is still there. No, the darkness leaves. Because what is darkness? Darkness is really just nothingness. It's nothingness. It's what it is. It's nothingness. But sometimes the nothingness of life can overwhelm us. And we're like, man, I've faced one problem after another, and I feel like I'm walking in this nothingness where I have no direction. I don't know what's going on. I don't know which way to turn. And the only thing I know is the truth of the word that Jesus is real. So I'm holding on to this thing, this idea, this person named Jesus. Who is this Jesus? He is your hope in the darkness. How do we practically live this out? Well, this is what the Holy Spirit told me to tell you. How many of you have ever been watching one of your favorite shows or a sitcom or something like that, and it comes to the end of the time of the episode, but the episode's not over yet? Some of you young people may not know this because TV has changed so much. How many remember that right at the end of the program, some words would flash onto the screen and it would say, to be continued, dot, dot, dot. You guys remember that? To be continued, dot, dot, dot. And we used to have to wait a week to find out what happened. This is what I heard the Spirit of the Lord say. The reason that Jesus is light in the midst of darkness, even your darkest hours that you face in life, is because he's the one that's saying, wait a minute, it's not over yet. Life is to be continued. Are you getting this? Life is to be continued. This is not the end. Life is to be continue. Sometimes we face some of the most devastating, heartbreaking things, and we think life is over as we know it. But church, Jesus is the light of the world, and he gives us hope that life is not over yet. It's to be continued. I keep getting up every morning and putting one foot in front of the other because God is still giving me life. And it may be hard right now. It may be a tough season, but my Jesus gives me hope because life is to be continued. And when he showed up, he said, life doesn't even stop at death, but life goes on forever and ever and ever. It's eternal. What I'm giving you is for eternity. That's why I have a hope. It's why the light of the world is hope. It's a beacon of hope for me. That no matter what I'm facing, even if it's death, even if it's death of relationships, even if it's struggles, death of bank accounts, death of corporations and jobs, life is to be continued because I have Jesus. And he is that spark of light that gives me life Even when everybody else says it's dead, give up, it's over, you're beating a dead horse. Well, I got news for you. I serve a Savior that resurrects the dead. He brings the dead back to life to be continued. It's hope. It's one of the themes of Advent. It's hope. You think, man, why are you getting so crazy this morning, Pastor Joe? Because I feel this in the depths of my bones. I feel this, that life is to be continued, that it comes through life and the light of Jesus Christ. He is the beacon of hope and the light of the world. And when we follow him, we have the light of life. The second thing we have to understand that goes in correlation with this, it runs hand in hand, that not only does he give us light, but he gives us enlightenment in that light. And he is revelation to the world. He brings truth. He brings understanding. He brings knowledge, and he brings wisdom. He is revelation to the world. Now, I love this. This is one of my favorite passages of Scripture in Luke chapter 2. When it comes to the Christmas story, that is, this is one of my favorite passages of Scripture because I see myself in this one. I don't know about you, but growing up and going to Sunday school, I loved going to Sunday school. I appreciated my Sunday school teacher. Some of them are sitting in here today, and I so appreciate you teaching me the Word of God. But there were times where I would think to myself, well, all of this is for the Jews. This is what the Bible keeps saying. It's for the Jews, for the Jews, for the Jews. And this is why this became one of my favorite passages in the Christmas story. It's in Luke chapter 2, and it's verses 30 through 32, and this is what it says. This is Simeon prophesying. He says, "For my eyes have seen your salvation, and you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for the glory to your people Israel." Now, this is what I love about this. Israel, the Jewish people, were awaiting the Messiah. They all knew the Messiah was coming. They all were expecting the Messiah to come. They knew he was going to be the glory of God. They knew that he was going to be the anointed one. They knew that he was going to point them to the way. But the Gentiles did not know. They did not know. And the Jewish people didn't want anything to do with the Gentiles. They wanted to exclude them in everything they were doing because previously in history, God was trying to purify them and keep them holy, so God kept them separate. He separated them. It was just a symbol to show us that when we become followers of Jesus, we are separated from the world. We are no longer like the generation we live in. But even at his birth, when they come and bring him to the temple to dedicate him to the Lord, the prophetic word comes forth. And the word of God says, not only is he the glory to the people of Israel, to the nation of Israel, but he is the revelation to all the heathens in the world. Even at his birth, the prophecy was saying, this is bigger than just for the Jewish people. This is a revelation for the whole world to begin to see. And when this light hits us, this is why he's called light, the light of the world, not the light of the Jews, the light of the world, then we begin to receive enlightenment. Our hearts become open to this fact that we receive a new life in Christ Jesus. And who we used to be has passed away. And now, behold, we are brand new. It's a revelation. And you know what's so cool about it? It's a revelation that just keeps growing and growing and growing and growing because there's a relationship in the revelation. And as I continue to follow him, life keeps being developed through this light and enlightenment continues to flow in me. That's why you hear people say, man, I got this revelation the other day. It's not a new revelation. It's a continued revelation. To be continued. I'm learning more about this person named Jesus. Who is this Jesus? Well, I don't have time this morning to tell you everything I know about this Jesus. And sometimes I don't even have words to articulate to you what I have begun to understand who this Jesus is. Because some things are just so spiritually discerned and understood that I don't even have human words that I can speak. And sometimes I'm so full of this light and this love and this life that He's given me that I don't even have human words to articulate my appreciation and my praise and my worship. So thank God He gave me His own words, and I begin to flow in heavenly tongues and heavenly languages and begin to give God praise and glory and pray to Him and communicate with Him. And that is more revelation and more revelation and more revelation and more revelation. And that's why this season never gets old for me. That's why the gospel story never gets old for me. That's why I'm never tired of hearing about somebody get saved. I'm never tired of hearing about the blood of Jesus and the cross and the resurrection. I never get tired of that. I never want to be a person who says, oh, I've heard that one before. No, tell me more. Tell me more. I got to know more of who this Jesus is. It's an enlightenment. He's a revelation to the world. People didn't understand. Even the Jews didn't understand. They thought it was about following these rules and regulations and getting this right. Oh, all of a sudden, Jesus shows up on the scene. He starts enlightening the world. He preaches this amazing message upon the mountainside. You have heard it said this. But I say unto you this, begin to give revelation to the world. And it didn't stop at just the Jewish people who He loved. It didn't stop at just God's chosen people. But it went from there and beyond. And I love the story where Peter's in prayer, the Apostle Peter's in prayer at Simon the Tanner's house. And all of a sudden he has a vision. And he's like, no, that's common. And then he said, no, don't you call what I prepared common. He said, here's the interpretation. There's a guy that's sending for you named Cornelius. He's not a Jew. He's a Gentile. But you're going to go preach the gospel to him too, because I'm getting ready to open up this thing to the whole world. Hallelujah. I'm thankful He opened it up to the whole world. He's the light of the world. He's enlightening. He's revelation to us. Amen. Number three here. Let me keep moving. Number three is this, that He is the victory over the darkness. We already hinted on this a little bit. But John 1 says this, verse 4, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. We already talked about that. Life and light working together. But verse 5 says this, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So not only do I have hope in this light, not only is it giving me revelation, an understanding of who God is and who Jesus is, but now this light comes in me and empowers me to overcome the darkness of the world around me. Because darkness cannot overtake light. It's impossible. It's impossible. Even when an eclipse happens, there's still light shining. How many remember this, that big to-do, what was it, last year or year before? I can't remember. And they thought Cary was going to get flooded and like five people showed up. Thanks for laughing. You got my joke. You're the only one. Remember? You guys don't remember that? They were telling us like, oh, man, all these people are going to come into our area. We're going to be minority of people. They're going to come watch the eclipse and blah, blah, blah. And like, I saw like five people I didn't know that day or something like that. But it was cool to see the eclipse, right? But even when the eclipse was happening, just because something went in front of the light, it didn't overtake the light. You could still see light. There's still light there. Church, there's no darkness, there's no evil that can overtake us. Nothing. And here's what happens to us. We begin to believe these lies. And because we put faith to the lie, a seed takes place in our heart. Now we have to combat some things through the Spirit that should have never even been there. Now thank God for His grace and His mercies. He helps us. I'm not putting anybody down. Listen, I'm preaching to myself right now. But these ideas, these thoughts come into our brains and we think that, oh no, that's something that's real, but it's actually just a lie. And we start putting faith into it, not realizing we're putting faith into it, and now something starts growing. What have we done? Well, we gave place to the devil. And the Bible says, give no place to the devil. I'm not going to open up anything in my heart to give room to the devil, yet sometimes he tricks me and I fall for it and I do. And this is what God began to show me. In Matthew, I believe it's the 16th chapter of Matthew, we see something that is very evident and very profound. Jesus asked his disciples, who do people say that I am? Who is this Jesus? Who do people think that I am, this Jesus is? And they start rattling all this stuff off. Well, some of you think you're John the Baptist. Some of you think one of the prophets. One of you think Isaiah, Elijah. He's like, okay. Then he says, but who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? And Peter stands up and says this great revelation. That was Peter. He's going to open his mouth before he thought. You are the Son of God. You are the Christ, the Messiah. You are the one we've been waiting for. And Jesus says that on this rock, he's going to build his church. Now, not the rock of Peter, the rock of the profession of faith Peter made, which is Jesus. He's the rock. Upon his rock, he will build his church, right? So when we declare Jesus and put him at his rightful place, and we stand upon that rock or that foundation, then God builds his church. And then he makes this really interesting statement. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I have thought and thought and prayed. I've preached this and I preached this, but I keep thinking about it and I keep thinking about it. And the Holy Spirit keeps bringing this back to me. And then after he says the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, he says, and I have given you the keys to the kingdom. So this is what happens. When we get things backwards in our mind and we begin to think that the darkness actually has some power over us, then we get scared of the gates. And we think the gates are attacking us. Church, that's not what he's saying there. He's not saying, oh, the gates of hell are going to come at you. They're going to unlock stuff and come at you, but it's okay, they won't prevail over you. You're going to get beat up and you're going to have to go and hide and pray, but it's okay, it won't overcome you. No, that's not what he's saying. He's saying, I have given you the keys and the gates won't stop you. Do you understand? I'm not fearful of hell. I'm not fearful of demons. I'm not fearful of darkness, as I have a key that God's given me and I can walk right up to the gates of hell and unlock it. Those gates won't keep me out and I can step in the midst of hell itself and see people rescued and set free for the glory of God. Why? Because there's a light that shines in me and darkness cannot overtake the light. We get so worried. We get so fearful. And these are thoughts that we allow the enemy to put in our heads. Oh, be careful getting around that. Something might get on you. What do you mean something might get on me? Don't you understand that the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ lives inside of me? I'm not worried about anything else getting on me. The Holy Ghost is already on me. Not worried about that. Well, you know, no, I don't know. I've decided to know nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's what I know. That's what I stand upon. It's the profession of faith on that rock. Oh, no. But you got to be careful now. You got to be careful you don't get around certain people. Don't you understand that I am a new creature in Christ Jesus? Let me just give you some proof of it. When Jesus delivered the woman at the well, what did he tell her? Now go and tell everybody. Go share what God's done for you. And who did she go to? The adulterous woman. Who did she go to? Did she go to all the good church ladies and the church ladies help her not be adulterous anymore? Teach her not to be adult? No. The Bible says she went to the men of the city. She went to the men of the city and she said, come see a man who told me everything that I am. And those men of the city who knew her reputation saw that something had changed in her. Oh, come on, church. You need to get excited about this. Something had changed in this woman. So we got to go see this guy that she ran into. And then the Bible says that after they heard Jesus, they didn't just believe because of her. They believed for themselves. But we get so crazy. We get so cautious. We're so scared. Oh no, what if they go back to their old lifestyle? Why would we? There's nothing there. And if we begin to promote the gospel like that, like, listen, we're not scared of the darkness because we know the light that lives inside of you. You may not know how to wield the light just as good as somebody else because you're a toddler or you're a babe in Christ, but the same light that lives in me lives in the same light that somebody gets saved this morning is the light of Jesus Christ. I'm not worried about the darkness because the darkness can't overtake the light. I'm sick and tired of worrying about the devil when Jesus has already won the victory. Fretting about the devil. Oh, what's the kingdom of darkness doing today? I don't care what the kingdom of darkness is doing today. I could care less what they're doing. Because the darkness can't overtake the light. Jesus has given us victory over the darkness. And we have to stop believing the lies of the devil. We got to stop believing them. We buy into this. Oh, well, you know, I've been oppressed, attacked. Yeah. Sorry. Don't get mad at me, but no duh. The Bible said we would be. But he also said that the power that's in us is able to do exceedingly and abundantly, exceeding abundance above all that we can ask or think. That's the power that works inside of us. It is the power of the light of Jesus Christ. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it always overtakes the darkness. He's given me the authority, the keys. I can walk into hell itself and not have to worry about a thing. Because the gates will not prevail against me. I don't have to be worried that I'm going to get locked back up in there when I go in there. Listen, if I was able to unlock it to go in, I am able to unlock it to get out. Right? But see, we believe lies. We believe this attack. Well, you know, this has come at me, and I think it's this spirit thing. And okay, great. Rebuke it. Get off of me. You got no right. You're trespassing. This belongs to God. Get away from me. And then what do? Like we said this morning, Father, you got this. You got this, Father. This ain't my thing. You've already won this victory through your son, Jesus. So I'm just going to stand in my victory until I see it before my eyes manifested and taking place. That's what it means that he is the light of the world. He is the light of the world. There's no darkness in this world that can overtake the light of Jesus Christ. I understand people have to make the choice to use their faith and believe it, but haven't we already made that choice? We've made that choice, church. So if we've made that choice, let us walk in that choice with authority and power and not be backed down by things. Because I don't know about you, but I'm tired of believing that the devil can beat me up. Any of y'all tired of that? I'm tired of him trying to ruin my Christmas season when I get to celebrate the birth of my Savior. I'm tired of it. I'm not going to let him do it no more. I don't have to. God gave me a revelation in his light. It was revealed to me. Jesus has given me the victory over it. I don't have to. Doesn't mean things ain't going to come at me. I just don't have to let them consume me and overwhelm me and bother me. I can stand in faith in Christ Jesus. Can we do that this morning? They can come back to the music. I got one more passage of scripture I want to read to you. Because this is something that's interesting to me. There are a lot of attributes and names of Christ that describe Him. But when it comes to light, light is the only one that He also calls us by that name. It says here in Matthew chapter 4, verse 14, as He's preaching on the Sermon on the Mount, He says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden." A hill. A rock. An elevated place. Can't be hidden. Can't be hidden. You can't hide. You're a light shining in the darkness. You can't hide it. You can't. It's impossible. The light always overcomes the darkness. So not only is He the light of the world, but because His light is in us, we are now the light. And we are a city that's standing upon the rock of Jesus Christ, and we cannot be hidden. People will try to ignore us, but they won't be able to. Because we have the message of hope. We have the message of revelation. And we have the message that gives Him power to overcome the darkness in their world. If you'd stand to your feet this morning, my prayer is that you've been challenged by this word and stirred up, and now you're excited about Christmas. If you came in here and you weren't excited about Christmas, I hope that you leave here excited about Christmas. I hope you leave here empowered and ready to go. I hope you leave here with an encounter with God this morning that says, you know what? Maybe there's something true about this. Maybe I don't have to believe this stuff that's been in my head. The Bible tells us to take captive or arrest those thoughts that try to lift themselves above the knowledge of who Jesus Christ is. 2 Corinthians, right? Chapter 10. So we arrest those thoughts. We take them captive. We pull those things down. We say, no, this is the knowledge of Jesus Christ that I've been given. This is what it says in His word. I'm going to stand upon that, and I'm going to see it happen in my life. We have to begin to get bold, church. Bold. God's calling us in this season to be bold. Not to be fearful, but to be bold. Beacons of hope shining in this dark world. So this is what I want you to ask yourself this morning. What have you been doing? What have I been doing? Have I been buying into the lies? Have I been letting stuff eat away at me and beat me up and direct my path that it's not of God? Have I given faith to something that I shouldn't be giving my faith to? And if that's true in any way at all, it's real simple, church. We just say, Jesus, I'm sorry. Forgive me. You've never even prayed that prayer before. That's all He wants to hear from you. I'm sorry. Forgive me of my sin. Forgive me for doing wrong. And I make You the Lord of my life now. I'm going to follow after You and do it Your way. It's that simple. It's okay if you've been saved 20 million times. It's okay to get saved again. Even if you are a person, you say, I'm walking with Christ, but this area, He's revealing some stuff to me. He's showing me some stuff. This ain't right in my life. And guess what? It's what His light of revelation does, so that He can clean it out of you. So this morning, I'm going to pray a prayer, and then I'm going to invite you to come forward. And as they sing, I want us to just take some time to have a moment with God, to encounter Him. You can sit in your seat, you can come forward, but let's take this moment and let God speak to us, begin to heal us, clean us up in some areas, clean our thinking up, so that we can walk in the victory of his light. Father, I thank you right now for the authority and the power that you've given us in Jesus Christ. I thank you that he is our hope, he is our life, he is our revelation, and he is our victory in this world. And we stand in faith right now upon the name of Jesus. I thank you for moving and meeting needs. I thank you for revealing things to people's hearts and setting them free right now. We declare freedom over mindsets that are not of you. Freedom right now. Revelation. We receive it right now. In Jesus' name.